Second hour here on this hot Friday here in Nashville. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Don't forget, you just made the list. Coming up at high noon, we've got Def Leppard, Motley Crue, Poison, Joan Jett tickets next week at Nissan Stadium. It's going to be a huge show, but you're going to have to call in and tell us who or what has made you mad. Maybe our next guest. I think we made him mad this week when we had Elliot Friedman on, talking about some things that prompted our next guest to join us, Kevin Bieksa. We're excited to have him on, and we were going down memory lane. In fact, Willie, I'll let you set it up with Kevin, and then we'll just kind of go from there, because we certainly had a lot of fun on Wednesday when Elliot was with us.
Well, Kevin, thanks a lot for joining us first and foremost. We have our weekly hit with Elliot Friedman. He was finishing up his chat with us the other day, and he was getting ready to go meet up with you, I guess, for lunch or something like that. And we just mentioned one of the famous fights in Predators history was you versus Mike Fisher back in the 2015-16 season. And it was just a video that went viral, I think, because of the people involved. But Mike Fisher caught you with a fist. And Mike Fisher happens to be married to Carrie Underwood. Carrie Underwood took the video clip and posted it, and it just went crazy on social media. So it's one of the more memorable bouts in Predators history. Elliot got a kick out of that, and he said, well, I got to go talk to Bieksa about this. So here we are.
Yeah, well, first of all, why would you guys want to talk to Elliot once a week? That's my first question for you. I don't even want to talk to him when we're working together. But that's exactly what happened. We were outside the hotel in Denver, and he said to me, do you remember that fight with Mike Fisher? And I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, I remember most fights. And he goes, oh, it was on a Nashville radio show, and you just told the story right there. And he's actually texting me right now. But I said, let's clear up a couple things about that, because I know from, like, the Predators' standpoint and from Fisher's and everything, you know, it looks good. But I'm still standing by the fact that I won the fight. So I'll go to the grave with that. But I will acknowledge how tough Mike Fisher is. Mike Fisher is a super tough guy. I love the way he played. I thought he was tougher than people thought he was. He, you know, he only fought once in a while. But when he did fight, there were great fights. And I think that fight in particular was an awesome fight. We were the Big Bad Ducks at the time. We had a really tough team. And I remember that game in particular, because it was kind of like a message sending type game for us. So, like, our coaches got us all riled up before the game. And I remember I was kind of looking for it. I went into that scrum, and the first guy I saw was Craig Smith. And I gave him a little push, knowing that I'm probably not going to end up fighting Craig Smith, right? Like, and not wanting to fight Craig Smith. Like, I was never a guy who wanted to fight guys beneath me. And then Fisher came in right away, and I'm like, okay, this guy's a worthy opponent. He's a tough guy and, you know, close to the same size. So then when we started fighting, it was a good fight. But anyways, after the fight, like, you know, I go in the penalty box and everything, and, you know, I thought it was even, but I thought I had a bit of a slight edge. I thought I hit him with a few more. And then the next day, with this video that your TV crew puts out there with his little jab, and it was like, I had this tooth that was bonded to both sides. So the tooth originally got knocked out against Ben Eager in a fight. And so I had, like, this fake tooth and root canal and everything right in the front, and now the tooth was just bonded to both sides of my real teeth, and that thing got knocked out all the time. So if you watch the video, when Mike hits me with that jab, it's kind of like dangling from, like, a thread. That's, like, the bonding. So, like, he didn't knock my tooth out, I guess, but I guess he knocked out my fake tooth. So anyways, I wanted to clarify that. Elliot thought it was funny, yes, when he was hearing me explain it. So here we are now.
It was absolute cinematography at its best because of the slow motion that you just described there. So let's, if you're a good sport about it, Kevin, let's hear Stu Grimson, who's been in a few fights of his own. Here's his call of this. And this is the clip that Carrie Underwood ended up posting. And so yeah, a lot more people saw it as a result. Let's play the clip.
Kevin Bieksa for Anaheim, Mike Fisher, assistant captain for Nashville. Stiff shot right in the face, Bieksa, and I do believe you see a chiclet appear out of the mouth of Kevin Bieksa. Fisher had pried one loose, but that's two guys just trading hands.
You trust me, guys. You can't hurt my feelings. So anything you want to ask me, go ahead. But
all right. Well, let's say this, Kevin. Darren and I watched the fight again.
We did review the tape. Yeah, we reviewed the tape.
There's no question that you got some shots in there.
You did.
It is definitely. Now, the home court advantage, you know, I still think a lot of people will judge that Fisher might get a slight nod there. But you held your own for sure. You got plenty of good shots in there.
Well, yeah, I always think, like, when you look at all those websites that judge fighting, they judge it based on, like, who throws who to the ice or, like, one punch. But I always, like, being in the fight, you judge it by, you know, who hit who and who actually hit who, not who looks like they hit who and who felt it. And that little jab there, it was a stiff jab to the face, but I think I countered right away with a bomb. Anyway, I'll tell you a quick story. When I was in the AHL, and I wasn't playing against your AHL team, I was playing against Grand Rapids, I believe, and I'm in front of the net, and this is like my first year. I'm like maybe five. I had like 15 fights my first year in the A. I was maybe five fights in, and like feeling good, like dusted a couple guys. Tutu was in the league. He was doing the same thing on the other end. And I'm in front of the net on the penalty kill with this power forward guy, like a net front guy, skill guy, right? And I cross-check him. He pushes back. I basically, you know, call his bluff. I go, you want to go? He drops his gloves, and we start fighting. So anyways, good fight, right? And then after the game, I go home, and my wife, who is my fiance at the time, is at home, and she goes, what's wrong? I go, just lost my first pro fight. And she goes, no, you didn't. What do you mean? I go, yeah, I did. I go, like, I know when I win, and I know when I lose. Like, he chipped all my teeth, and like every time he hit me or swung, like I felt it. And then I went back, and she goes, look at the video. Like, you won the fight. So I went back the next day, and I looked at the video at the ring, and it definitely looks like I beat him in the video. But that's the thing, right? Every punch that he threw, I remember feeling like chip two, chip two, chip two, and who knows if my punches even saved him. So that's the thing about fighting, right? Who knows, like, how many of those punches he actually felt. I'm assuming he felt one or two of them for sure.
I'll tell you what, I'm still kind of laughing that you said you went looking.
You're not
Craig
believing anything I'm saying, eh?
No, I'm laughing, Kevin, because we got to know Craig Smith really well here. He became a friend of the show for sure. And I don't think – will he help me with this? I'm not sure.
I don't remember he ever fought.
We called him Crazy Legs. Craig was ever in a fight. Was he in the NHL?
And I would never even think about that. Like, I have a couple of times on TV when you see, like, a mismatch. Remember when we had the Tom Wilson-Panarin whole thing going on when Panarin jumped on his back and Wilson kind of threw him to the ice? Like, I've always – like, I think Panarin was a little bit, too much there, but I always believed in – not fighting a guy weaker than you, not, you know, taking a fight in your weight class or above. I would never grab a guy that I knew I could absolutely tumble. And obviously Craig Smith was not on us. And I believe we have the same agent, so I don't think my agent would have been happy with that either.
No doubt about it. What do you remember between Vancouver and Anaheim? You had some great battles with the Predators over the years in your career. What do you remember about going up against the Preds?
Yeah, like a couple of heartbreaking playoff losses for sure, but we beat them in our run to the Stanley Cup Finals. I remember we took them out in the second round, and that's when they were Suter and Weber there. But always a great team, always a tough team. That building is so fun to play in, and just being downtown around the rink and everything. So, but always like a tough team, and it felt like they always got up for us, and we would always kind of try to bully them a little bit, especially in Anaheim. Like, we had a big, tough team. We had a lot of, like, our best players were, like, Getzlaf and Perry and Kessler, and these guys could hold their own as well. And then we had, you know, Chris Stewart and Pat Maroon and Manson and myself. Like, we had a big, tough team, and we just would try to bully them, and they would hold their own, and they would give it back, and we had I still believe my best chance, obviously I lost in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, but I thought my best chance to win a cup was probably with that team in Anaheim where we lost to you guys in the conference final. I really thought that was our year, and I think you guys ended up going on to lose to Pittsburgh that year, but we all really saw it. Like, that was a heartbreaker for us because we thought we could have won the cup that year had we gotten through you guys.
The one time I got to see a Predators game, Willie will remember this, is the 09-10 season out in Vancouver. The wife and I went out there because we wanted to visit Vancouver, the Preds happened to be there, and it was the year that Vancouver was hosting the Winter Olympics. It was right before the Winter Olympics, and a former Predator player hooked us up with great tickets to that Canucks-Preds game. And, Willie, you know who I'm talking about. We used to do a radio show with him. Darcy Hordachuk, who was a teammate of yours. Did he do the magic tricks in Vancouver when he played for the Canucks?
We could do a whole radio show on Darcy Hordachuk. What an absolute piece of work that guy is. And I still run into him from time to time. Like, everybody who's ever played with him has 1,000 stories about Darcy Hordachuk. Like, now that, like, we're retired, he's living in Scottsdale, and that's pretty close to where I live. I still live in California, and we have a lot of minor hockey tournaments there for my son's team that I coach. So I'm back and forth there, and every time I'm there, I hook up with him. And this is one of those things, the one time, like a Darcy Hordachuk story. He's like, yeah, let's go out for lunch. And I go, okay. So we go for lunch in between my two minor hockey games. And next thing you know, we're like on stage at Barrett Jackson auction, like during the auction on stage with the cars. And like there's like a, like 15, 20,000 people in the stands and stuff. And me and Hordy are like modeling with the car on stage. And I'm like, what are we doing right now? And he's like, no, let's just go here. And he just like kind of walks his way through this place and works the room and like greases people and like works security. And no, let's just don't even ask. Let's just go up here. He's just an unbelievable networker and just a special guy. And just you could do a lot of stories too about that guy. But the other magic tricks always came out. How about he's like, pick a card, any card, ace of spades. He would say that 1,000 times to waiters and waitresses, and they're like, no.
Boy, you know Darcy all too well. He is, yep. You are absolutely, he
falls
is
right in the line.
Best guy out there working a room that I've ever been around. I've never seen anybody that works a room better than him.
Let me tell you another Darcy story that you probably don't know. When we were in Vancouver, during the games, when he was a healthy scratch, everybody's spare sticks were going missing. So like our trainers are like because guys would come off the ice and they're like, where's my sticks? So they had to go to the video camera and security, and Darcy was rallying up. He was like, it was like shopping for him. He'd take one Sedin stick, one Burrow stick, one Dexter stick, one Luong, and he'd bring him downstairs and he'd put him in his car. And then he would like give him, but like he'd have good intentions. He'd give him to kids, or maybe he'd give him to charity events. But he was not even asking. He was just stealing all of our sticks. And then he would like take people on tours. Like Luongo and Kessler lived on the same floor in a building. He would take like tours through the building. Like, this is where Luongo hot tubs and Kessler swims. And he's like, let's go up to their floor. And he'd go up to their floor. And he'd knock on their doors. Like with just random fans. And he'd be like, and Luongo would slam the door in his face, like absolutely hated him. And then last story, Burrow's the one year he had a game where he got a hat trick, and then the next game he got another hat trick. So he had back-to-back hat tricks, right? And he used the same stick for all six goals. So the practice before the third game, you know, Hordy goes on early, and he's skating around, and Burrows goes over and goes, is that my stick, Hordy? And he goes, yeah, you know, I figured, like, you scored six goals. Like, can't be that hard. It must, you know, this must be a good stick. I figured I'd try it. So he actually took the stick that Burrows used, and he cut it down, like, 4 inches, so it was good for him. And he was using it in practice. And Burrows, like, you stupid idiot, Hordy. Like, I just scored six goals in a row with the stick. I wanted to use it for the next game. And Hordy's like, oh, I didn't think this was a stick. Like, such a knucklehead.
Oh, boy. Kevin Bieksa is with us. Longtime NHL defenseman, Hockey Night in Canada. Kevin, before we let you go, do you think it ends tonight? It really looks like a great champion could go down. Everything seems to be lining up for Colorado.
Yeah, it does. And the only thing I'll caution everybody with is Vasilevsky. That's the one thing. Like, everyone right here is talking about the parade and the celebration and everything being over, because Colorado is, like, if you've watched the series, boy, were they such a different team on home ice in games one and two, especially game two. Like, they were absolutely dominant and relentless and just smothered Tampa Bay. So if that happens and everyone's expecting them to come out like that again with all the excitement of being able to win it, but Vasilevsky is the one guy, just like, you know, an animal is most dangerous when its back's against the wall. He's the one guy that could steal this game for them, and they could kind of lock it down a little bit and win like a 2-1, 3-2 game and get back to Tampa. And then all of a sudden we're back in Tampa and who knows what happens. So I think a lot of us are not hoping, because I don't really cheer for anybody. Like, I'm pretty unbiased. I don't really care who wins at the end of the day, but it would be fun to see Denver win it on home ice. So kind of hoping for at least a good game tonight.
Kevin, on the way out, we got to ask you here in Nashville, right? It's the topic. So we're less than 3 weeks away from free agency period. Do you think Forsberg's back, or do you think he's going to hit the market?
Oh, boy. This is a question that you ask Elliot when you're forced to talk to him once a week.
And we ask him probably once a week.
Yes.
I mean, like, the way I look at it is, and I've seen this a few times, when you have a guy like that that's so valuable and you don't trade him at the deadline and you don't get any assets for him, you better make it work in the summer. Like, they kept him for what? They kept him for, like, four or five for first-round playoff games, and then you're going to lose him for nothing? I think it looks really bad if you lose a guy like that that you've developed and it's super, super valuable and you had an opportunity to trade and get some huge pieces back, but you decided, no, like, we're gonna stick with them. I really think that they have to do everything they can to lock him up.
Good stuff. Kevin, really appreciate it. Thanks for doing this. Have a great summer. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Cheers, guys.
All right, that is Kevin Bieksa. That was outstanding. We'll come back and discuss some things you heard there, especially there at the end about Philip Forsberg. Let's talk about that next. You're on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app.